If you've got questions about public media funding, we've got answers. Our quick guide explains what's at stake for WSHU, what we know so far, and how you can help. It is all in one place. Just visit WSHU.org.
Frank Pepe Pizzeria Napoletana in New Haven will celebrate its 100th anniversary this weekend. The Frank and Philomena Pepe corner on Wooster and Brown Street honors the creation of New Haven-style pizza, widely considered some of the best in the country. Mayor Justin Elliger was there for the unveiling this morning.
We have this is the first time I think this has ever happened in a pizza box, but believe it or not, we have a proclamation inside a pizza box. You're seeing history being made in New Haven.
Last year, New Haven was declared pizza capital of the United States in congressional record. Hey, happy Friday. You're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news and culture update from around Long Island Sound. The Shinnecock Nation sues the town of Southampton over its Westwoods property. A Stratford nonprofit looks to move into a historical lighthouse. Summer temperatures will be coming in hot this weekend, plus the latest from WSHU's Off the Path. Those stories and more are ahead. I'm Sabrina Garone. The Shinnecock Tribal Nation has filed a lawsuit against the town of Southampton over its use of its Westwoods property. WSHU's Janice Roman has more.
The nation filed the suit after the town threatened legal action if the nation used the Westwoods area for parking. The town has already sued Shinnecock trustees over its construction of a travel plaza on the parcel. In addition to the existing injunction on construction, the town sent another cease and desist letter. The nation is host to an annual music festival that takes place on Shinnecock land. It uses the Westwoods area for overflow parking, but because the injunction is still in place, using the area for parking would constitute a violation of Southampton Town Code. The suit claims public officials engaged in unlawful and unconstitutional activity when it tried to regulate what the nation does on its Westwoods property. Janice Roman, WSHU News.
A Stratford nonprofit arts center wants to move into a historical lighthouse. WSHU's Isabella Fabo has more.
Art Alliance of Stratford is looking to take advantage of a new offer from the United States Coast Guard. They announced back in April that some agencies, like nonprofits, could move into the Stratford Point Lighthouse, free of cost. Art Alliance hosts art classes, art shows, and other events. Mark Hannon is the president. He says they currently share a space at a community center, but scheduling can sometimes be an issue.
We're looking for a space that we can do all of that. We're doing it now, but a space in which we control the schedule.
He says they want to do something similar with the lighthouse to what the Milford Arts Council did when they renovated an old railway station. He says they'll be able to tour the lighthouse at the end of the month, but they're not the only ones who sent in a proposal. Isabella Fabo, WSHU News.
As you've been hearing, temperatures are expected to soar across our region beginning this weekend. New York State officials are warning residents to be on the lookout for heat-related illnesses. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio has more.
The worst of the heat is expected through Thursday, with real field temperatures over 100 degrees. State Health Commissioner James McDonald says that can lead to dizziness, fatigue, nausea, and even convulsions.
Everyone is at risk when you have extreme heat, yet not everyone is at the same risk. Elderly folks, 65 and older, anyone who's pregnant, the very young, anyone with an underlying health condition are at higher risk. That's a lot of us, New Yorkers.
He says air conditioning can literally save lives. The health department website has a tool to locate the closest cooling center. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
Tuxedo Park in the Hudson Valley has been a gateway for some of America's wealthiest, and it's sparked a few interesting ideas. That story is coming up.
Local support comes from Hartford Healthcare. For the second time, all hospitals received A ratings from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent hospital monitor. This means that patients have access to the safest level of care, no matter which hospital they choose.
Beginning July 13th, WSHU is adding two new music programs to your Sunday nights. Start with Fiesta and the expressive sounds of Latin American and Spanish composers. Then stay for Concierto, a bilingual celebration of classical music's rich Hispanic heritage. Hear Fiesta and Concierto Sunday nights on WSHU starting July 13th. You can explore the full schedule online at WSHU.org.
15 sets of twins will walk across the stage this weekend at Plainview Old Bethpage JFK High School's graduation. That breaks the Long Island record held by Sayville High School, which had 11 sets of twins graduate last year. The CEO of Nassau University Medical Center has been fired. Megan Ryan allegedly distributed at least $1 million in excessive payments to herself and 12 others, according to a letter from the new Hospital Oversight Board. The long-troubled hospital operated at a loss of $144 million last year. The Merritt Parkway in Trumbull was down to one lane this afternoon after a car hit a fallen tree, according to state troopers. The occupants suffered minor injuries. The tree came down late this morning on the northbound side near exit 49. Some Connecticut schools continue to fail to comply with school desegregation laws. WSHU's Shelley Hassman-Kadish has more on a new state report for the 2024-25 school year.
Five public schools, including three in Fairfield County, McKinley School in Fairfield, New Lebanon School, and Hamilton Avenue School, both in Greenwich, are considered racially imbalanced. Their population is more than 25% students of color when compared with the proportion of the population in the district. A report approved by the State Board of Education this month identified four of the schools as out of compliance year after year. For example, Fairfield has been out of compliance nearly every year since 2007. The law is designed to prevent some schools from being racially segregated. If a school is identified as racially imbalanced, it's required to file a plan with the state to correct the imbalance. The state also identified 16 more schools that are at risk of becoming racially imbalanced. Shelley Hassman-Kadish, WSHU News.
Tuxedo Park in New York's Hudson Valley has been a gateway for some of America's wealthiest and most influential people, and it's sparked a few interesting ideas. Davis Donovan visited Tuxedo Park for the WSHU series Off the Path. This season, it's all about origin stories, and here's the origin of this storied enclave.
Tuxedo Park is in the Ramapo Mountains of New York. There are a lot of pristine lakes and trees. It's picturesque. And
originally, this area was rich in iron ore and obviously water and timber, the forests. So there were a lot of iron ore foundries and furnaces around.
Christopher Gao is with the Tuxedo Park History Museum. He tells me the story of a New York family, the Lorillards, who made their fortune in tobacco. The family bought up hundreds of thousands of acres of land in the lower Hudson Valley in the late 1700s. Tuxedo Park was part of that. Less than a century later, the hills were stripped of iron ore, but the Lorillards were still flush with money. Lots of money. So two of the brothers, Pierre the Fourth and his brother George, mostly used the land for hunting. The two were quintessential playboys.
They had yachts and horse racing, and so George and Pierre were very fond of the horse racing. George was dying, so that took the steam out of that fun.
Pierre turned all his attention to the area known as Tuxedo Park.
And decided to make it into an exclusive country retreat, a hunting and fishing club.
Not just for himself, but for his friends, who came from families like the Vanderbilts and the Astors. Plus, his mistress's husband. Awkward. Tuxedo Park was one of America's first gated communities.
When it was ready, he commissioned three trains to come up from New York City with 700 of his fancy friends and took them to pick them up at the railway station with carriages, took them to the club, showed them the properties, and so encouraged them to become members, rent a house, or then purchase a plot of land and build a house.
They called them cottages, but they're more like mansions, and they're still behind those huge iron gates. Christopher Gao lives in Tuxedo Park in a former gardener's cottage.
We can go through the gates and see the big mansions, which you...
Let's see the mansions if we can.
We jump in his car, and Christopher pulls through the gates with a wave to the security guard.
These are the gates?
Exactly, yes. So this massive, foreboding, almost monolithic architecture. And you can see there the curving of the shingles, which is typical of Bruce Price.
He was the up-and-coming young New York City architect who built the gates and the clubhouse and most of the original cottages.
His aesthetic was the landscape dictated the size and the placement of the architecture. So he worked around that instead of the other way around. And it was to blend in with the Mother Nature. So he used shingles, you know, dark wood, dark brown. And then up here, you see where...
We round a corner and the lake opens up before us. Bruce Price's original cottages dot the hills, along with styles that span more than a century, each with their own vibe, but each paying tribute to Price's original vision.
So here we are on Tuxedo Lake. And so you see most of the gilded mansions, the Gilded Age mansions, were built obviously around the lake. There's brand new ones, very much done in the old style. This is, it's like a living museum of architecture, but we can't just stop in the past. It's like we need to have the art of our own time and add to it.
Bruce Price left another legacy, his daughter, Emily Post, the First Lady of Etiquette. Next week on Off the Path, how Tuxedo Park helped shape her life and career. I'm Davis Donovan.
For the latest news from around Long Island Sound, listen on the radio at WSHU.org or with the WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford Healthcare. As always, please feel free to reach out with any thoughts or story ideas you might have. The best way to get in touch with us is by email, and it's news@WSHU.org. I'm Sabrina Garone. As always, thank you for listening to After All Things. Have a wonderful weekend, and I'll speak to you on Monday.